after the holiday. Bible says he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. He who waters others will be watered. And we're sure that you had a refreshing time. Good to have you back, and it's good to be in church worshiping the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yes, give to the Lord a hand. Yes. He's worthy of our praise. Amen. Hallelujah. This is about an elderly couple who went to heaven. The woman went to heaven first, and when she got to the gates, the front desk angel said, "Madam, to get to heaven, you need to spell one word correctly." "What's that word?" The angel said, "Love, L-O-V-E." So she said, "L-O-V-E." "Correct. Come right on in." And later the angel said to the lady, "Would you please man the desk for a while?" She said, "Sure." While on duty at the desk, her husband comes to heaven. And she asked, as per the angel's instructions, to spell a word correctly to be admitted into heaven. So he said, "What's the word?" "Just one word." He said, "Spell Czechoslovakia." Hallelujah. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 3. Some of you are trying to spell it. Yeah. Good luck. Daniel chapter 3, verse 16 to 18. We want to speak this morning on overcoming fear. Are you with me this afternoon? Yeah? How many know the Bible tells us very clearly in Revelation, there's a phrase which says, "To him who overcomes." To him who overcomes. Time and again in the book of Revelation we read, "To him who overcomes." That means God is looking for overcomers. Jesus is not coming back for a bunch of losers. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now that may offend us a bit, but that's true. It's biblical. Jesus is coming back for a glorious church. Can you say amen?
Amen.
He is coming back for victors. He's coming back for overcomers.
Yes.
To the one who overcomes, he is going to give some things. To the one who overcomes. So that means God wants us to live a victorious Christian life.
Amen.
And we want to look at many of the things that we need to overcome in our life, but this afternoon we're going to focus on overcoming fear. Fear is a big issue for many of us, because fear always says, "What if? What if this happens? What if that happens? What if it goes wrong?" There's always a what if. And that's when fear sets in. But faith, on the other hand, always says, "Even if." Come on.
Yes.
Even if. That means whatever happens. Whatever happens. Now here's a story right here in Daniel chapter 3. Very familiar passage. For we know that there is the statue that is built. King Nebuchadnezzar is having a field day. Everyone is worshipping and bowing down before him, except for three Hebrew boys who know the God in the heavens. And so it says in chapter 3 of the book of Daniel, verse 16 down to 18, says, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, 'O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king.'" Verse 18, "But if not," another translation, "even if," he doesn't, "be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up."
Praise God.
Notice the words of faith by three young people. Many people have written off the young generation. God hasn't. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Generation X, Y, Z, God has not written them off. We label them, we have written them off, but God hasn't. Three young people stood up before a king. They know that they can die the next moment. Their hands can just roll down on the ground the next second. They know it. But they say these words of faith. And it's not a what if. This can happen, that can happen. But it's a whatever happens situation. Fear will say always what if, but faith will say even if. How is your faith this morning? How is your faith this afternoon as you're in the presence of God? There may be many challenges that you're going through. There may be many doubts in your mind. I know the situation that we're living in is not the ideal of times. It's not the best of times that we're living in. We have the best of technology and the best of the ease of life and everything else, but times are challenging. And I'm telling you, days are going to get darker. Hello. Before the day of the Lord, before Jesus comes back, the days are going to get darker. That's what the Bible says. Things are going to get bad. Sometimes many of us sitting right here next to us in our pews right here may not be there next year in the faith. Hello. That's Bible. Many will forsake their faith. Many will be deluded. They will be under delusion. They may be going into a cult. They may be walking away from the biblical gospel. It's going to happen. Don't be surprised when it happens. You will be put in situations where it's going to be your life, your faith is going to be tested by fire. And that is where you need not a what if kind of a situation, but an even if faith. Whatever happens, it doesn't matter. Facing an exam, even if. Going for a job interview, even if. A visa situation, even if. A serious health situation, even if. The moment you start saying those words, you realize that there is a God in the heavens. There is a God who's in control. Not the government, not the doctor, not the lawyer, not your manager, not a multinational company, but God in the heavens, who's seated on the throne, is in charge. And the moment you realize that, you come to that faith and you say, even if. Yeah. It doesn't matter. Notice these words. They say, we don't have, you know, any need to answer you in this matter, O King. Never lost the respect for the King. Still saying, O King. O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, that means you're going to put us in the fire. If this be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us. How many know that our God is able? Come on, everybody repeat it. Our God is able. Our God is able. You must believe it. Our God is able. Amen. He is able to deliver us. He is able to set us free. He is able to break the bondages. He is able to give us a job. He is able to sort the visa. He is able to, you know, help us with the interview. He is able to help us in our health situation. No matter what we face, we may be praying for someone for years and years and the answers are not coming. Unanswered prayers is a challenge for us. But we know, even if, we still will serve our God. Because He is on the throne. He will deliver us. He's able to deliver us. But even if, O King, be it known to you, O King. O King, be it known to you. We will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. You and I will be faced and confronted with a situation like this in your life. Maybe multiple times. Where you will either have to bow and not burn, or you will not bow and will not burn. How many of you understood that? Yeah. They were put in the fire, but they didn't burn. They came out without the smell of fire. Not even a smell of fire was there when they came out. Why? Because there was a fourth man. The Lord Himself was there in that fire. Amen. The world can put us in a fire, but there is a fire inside of us. How many of you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. There's a fire inside of us that can help us withstand the fire that the enemy puts us in. Hello? Are you with me?
Yes.
You have a fire inside of you, my brother. You have a fire inside of you, my sister. That will keep you from the, you know, the fiery darts of the enemy. That will keep you from every pit that the enemy will put you in. From every flame that the enemy throws at you. Every fire that, even if it's made hotter and the heat is increasing, you will not feel it because you know the presence of God is with you. There is one who will walk with you in the fire. His name is Jesus. He is the fourth man in life's fiery furnaces. So do not fear. It's interesting that in the Bible, every time an angelic visitation was there, there was this one command, one instruction. The first thing that the angel would say, do not fear.
Yes.
Yes or no?
Yes.
Why do you think that is? Simple logic, they were fearful. The moment an angel came, they were afraid. You know, we have these medieval fantasies of angels playing, you know, the fiddle in the clouds and all of that. Those are just artist impressions. Angels are not like cute little babies, okay, with white wings and up in the clouds playing a fiddle. That's just artist ideas. Angels are fearsome creatures. They're angelic beings. They're heavenly creatures. Every time an angel appeared, they started to shiver, right? Every person, when an angel appeared, what happened? They started to be afraid. And the first thing the angel says, do not fear. And that's the word of God to us. Overcome your fear. Whatever it is, you know it. You know it. The Bible says, do not fear. Somebody said this, one for each day, 365 times, do not fear, be afraid, and all of that in different versions. You can have all of that put together 365 times. Don't fear. Do not fear. That's not a suggestion, it's a command. Do not fear. One for each day. Why? Number one, because God is bigger than the object of our fear. What do you fear? Psychologists talk about a lot of phobias. I don't know, there can be a huge list of phobias. You fear this, you fear that. From small things like fearing spiders to fear of flying. It's all real, by the way. I know people who haven't taken a flight out anywhere because they can't fly. It's true. You see a small spider and they run. Phobias are real, I know that. You've got to overcome that. It is real, they're not denying it. But you've got to overcome. God is bigger than the object of whatever fear that you have right now. What do you fear? Know that God is infinitely bigger. God is bigger than that fear, no matter what it is. No matter what phobia that you have right now, God is bigger. What is fear? Somebody gave an acronym. Fear is F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. Most of the time it's not there. Most of the time it's just an assumption. False evidence appearing real. It appears real, but it's just false evidence. You with me? We assume a lot of things. Oh, this will happen, that will happen. No. It's not there, it's just a fear. And that's why you need to break that fear. It's a fear factor. We say there are TV programs breaking that fear somehow. But I want us to do it in the spirit. I want us to know what the Bible talks about. And we're going to look at a few scriptures and see what the Bible says. And see how we can break that in the spirit. How many know we can declare war against fear right now? You've got to declare war against fear in your life. God does not want you to live in fear. He wants you to live by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. Amen?
Amen.
We walk by faith because God is bigger. God is bigger than the object of our fear. Infinitely bigger. All sorts of phobias can be bowing down before King Jesus.
Amen.
Amen? Amen? And that's how we can live an overcoming life. There's a story of a preacher, an American preacher, who went to the bushes, the jungles of Africa. And out there he was doing a kind of a seminar for 3 days on spiritual warfare. So the whole thing was on deliverance and demonology and, you know, all of that. And so he was speaking on spiritual warfare, and then he would go and take rest. He was so tired. By the time he came to the third day, he was so tired, he came off, he took off his tie, he put his coat, hanged his coat there, and he just knocked off. He didn't even have time for a shower. He just was so tired, exhausted, that he slept off. Middle of the night, he woke up. And suddenly, he saw something move near the window. He got petrified. He was really scared. He said, what in the world? I'm so far away from home. This is a strange place. I'm out in the bush. You know, what is this thing that's moving in the dark? And it gets really bad because it kept on moving. So he started, praying. And of course, that's what we do. And so he prayed and tried to sleep. Then, you know, he opened his eyes slowly and still moving. So he shifted gears. He started praying in tongues and, you know, then started in a different realm altogether. Nothing is happening, it's still moving. And so, because he was so tired, after a while he just slept off. He was scared. And as he slept off, he realized that, you know, God's there with him. No matter what, it's going to be all right. Because he was so tired and exhausted, he just slept off. Only to wake up in the morning and to realize that it was actually his coat that was moving with the wind in the night. He had put the coat in the window sill, you know, if you understand it, it's happening in a village. And the wind was blowing and the coat was moving and he thought it was a ghost. How many know there are no ghosts? It's there in our mind. We somehow try to read literature and movies, and everything has given us this whole thing of fear. It is false evidence, appearing real. It's not there. But I know that there is the spiritual. There is the dark world. I know they can do things. But how many know that greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So if fear is false evidence appearing real, what is faith? Faith is another acronym. Faith, on the other hand, is trusting God. And the acronym is this, F-A-I-T-H. It's forsaking all, I trust him. Forsaking all, I trust him. So if God is bigger than the object of our fear, here's the second point. God is worthy of our trust. God is worthy of our trust. Fear is faithlessness or misplaced trust. You come to that place where you hold on to things. You know, when we are having a fall, what do? We take a crutch, right, and try to walk. The problem is with many Christians, we have many crutches that we use to walk. Something that we depend on for our Christian life. How many know that we as Christians can have no other crutch but God in our life? God must be the one that we trust. Forsaking all, I trust him. So this morning I want to ask you, what is your crutch? What are you trying to hang on to? What is it that you're depending on? Maybe your education, maybe your looks, maybe the way you talk, maybe, you know, your expertise in something, maybe your talents, maybe your gifts in something. What is it? Maybe your bank balance. What is it that you are holding on as a crutch that you think will get you to heaven or will make you look good at the end of the day? Or is it leaning on to the everlasting arms of Jesus? Forsaking all, I trust him. God is faithful. I want us to turn to Psalm 118. Psalm 118 and verses 8 to 9. Psalm 118 verse 8 to 9 says, it is better. Everybody say, it is better. Come on, say, it is better.
It is better
to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. Hello. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. We have seen governments will come and go. Empires will come and go. Civilizations will come and go. Great men, great people will come and go. Great leaders will come and go. Heroes will come and go. But God will remain. Amen. And so it says it's better to take refuge in the Lord, in Yahweh, than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. Somebody said that's the kind of the central verse in the Bible, to trust in the Lord. You take all the verses before that, you take all the verses after that. That's central, and it's a central message for us. Yeah. It is better to trust in the Lord. It's easy for us to trust in man. We look to man. We look to people all the time. The Bible says it's better to trust in the Lord because God is trustworthy. God is faithful. We've got to understand this. This is good theology. Somebody said a good philosophy will take you to the grave. A good theology will take you through the grave. Amen. A good philosophy will take you to the grave. A good theology will take you through the grave. We walk by faith and not by sight. A faith that can move mountains. Yes, we believe that. I believe in mountain moving faith. Jesus said that. He said, if you believe, speak to the mountain, it will move. Yes or no?
Yes.
We also come to that place where we realize, yes, Jesus meant what he said. And there are some of us who have prayed and prayed and have not seen mountains move. Some of us can't even move a pebble. Forget about the mountain. Can't move a stone. But you know, I understand that. It takes faith and you speak and you see things move. Challenges move. Mountains move. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
That's the life of an overcomer. We've got to get this theology right, but if there are times when some mountains don't move, how many of you know that?
Yes.
Don't get discouraged. The Bible talks about that. There is a place where we have to come to an even if faith. You have prayed so long that healing hasn't come. You prayed so long that deliverance hasn't come. You prayed so long that bondage has not been broken. You prayed so long that person that you prayed for is not saved yet. You prayed so long and that miracle hasn't happened yet. Don't give up. And even if that doesn't happen, it doesn't matter. Why? Your eternity is not dependent on that miracle in your life. Your eternity is dependent on what Jesus did on the cross. And he said, it is finished. He didn't say, I am finished. He said, it is finished. It is finished. The work of salvation is done. There's nothing that you and I can add to it. All we can do is appropriate it. Say, Lord, I receive. I believe. You died for me on the cross. That's all that matters. I'm on my way to eternity with God in heaven. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So you walk by faith. Four times in scripture. Do you know the Bible says four times in scripture, the just shall walk by faith. Four times. That phrase is mentioned. Abraham walked by faith. Moses walked by faith. All of these saints of God, heroes of faith, they walked by faith. And they reached the promised land. You and I can continue with the same. We can walk by faith. So what happens when if some mountains don't move? Don't worry. A pastor once said, and I can't get over that. He said, there are some mountains that will never move in your life. But it is those very mountains that you will climb with God.
Amen.
When your mountain doesn't move, you should know that God is with you, climbing the mountain with you. His presence will be there. In that situation, that challenging situation, when life seems to be a paradox, when you're going through life's crisis, and even the Bible doesn't give you the answers, so it seems that you can't figure it out, that's okay. You know, the psalmist says so many things that it didn't make sense to him. Paul had situations where it didn't make sense to him. He wrote half of the New Testament. But there were things that didn't make sense to him. He said, three times I prayed, Lord, remove the thorn in the flesh. Jesus comes back, he heard his prayer, never answered that prayer. Or rather answered in a different way. That's the way I should put it. God answered in a different way. He said, my grace is sufficient for you.
Amen.
I'm not going to take away the thorn in the flesh, whatever that was for Paul, that hindered his walk, that gave him a struggle, that made him depend on God more. Your challenge, that mountain which is not moving, that unanswered prayer, is what is making you lean on the everlasting arms of Jesus. That is what is making you lean on to him. God's servants, many great men of God, are all broken people. They all have that brokenness in their life. You know why? Not because God can't heal it. Not because God can't deliver it. Not because God can't save that situation. God left that in their lives because that will keep them broken till the end of his life. Jacob left after wrestling with God at Peniel. He left broken. And to the end of his life, remember, he's leaning on his staff and blessing his children. He remained broken till death. God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob. Yet, he leaned on his staff, still broken, and blessed. With a limp, he went and blessed Pharaoh. Come on.
Amen.
That's the God we serve.
Amen.
Whatever limp you have, whatever unanswered prayer that you are facing right now, that challenge, God has left it there for a reason. It is making you depend on God. It is making you more like Jesus. It is making you come to that place where, like Job, you will say, even if he slays me, I will trust him.
Amen.
Even if. Job had an even if faith. You know, some of us make fun of Job's wife. I've heard a lot of jokes about Job's wife. Interestingly, that name is also not mentioned in the Bible. But you know what? Job's wife has come back and said some things after burying 10 children. I don't know how many of you have buried children. It's difficult to bury your parents. I've been there, done that. But it's more difficult to bury children. Are you with me?
Yeah.
When you have freshly dug graves, 10 of them, your mind will go cuckoo. No matter how you are in the faith, no matter how faithful your husband is and all of that, your mind can play tricks. She said, curse God and die. That's grief coming out. And only if you understand the brokenness of people will you not make fun of Job's wife. Are you with me? You may have not have heard that like that before. But I'm telling you, that's good theology. You've got to understand that people go through stuff. There are people here in this room that have gone through stuff. We know our brokenness, we know our limbs, we know our fears. But like Job, we can say, even if he slays me, I will trust him. And come to that place where, like Paul, 3 times or 30 times, 300 times you prayed, and the answer from heaven is still, my grace is sufficient for you. His grace is sufficient for you. Jesus went through that. He came to that Garden of Gethsemane, and he was sweating, not sweat, but drops of blood comes, and medical science has proved that in the height of agony, you can sweat drops of blood. It's true. He says, Father, will you take this cup away? Yet not my will. That's even if. That's an even if faith. Yet not my will, but yours be done. You have unanswered prayers, challenges. God is with you. Let me give you some biblical ways to overcome fear. Number one, realize that God is with you. Very familiar passage, Psalm 23 and verse 4. Psalm 23 verse 4. What does it say? It says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Notice that even though, rhyming with even if. It's connected. Even though my situation is like this. Even if the doctor's report is like this. Even though the situation hasn't changed. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil. How many know that it's a decision? How many know it's a choice not to fear evil?
Yeah.
It takes your volition. It's your will. You either choose to fear or you choose not to fear. I will fear no evil. That means you and I can decide. You and I have a choice. So no matter what you're going through, whatever is the valley that you're going through right now, you have to decide, you have to rise up in your spirit and say, I will fear no evil.
Amen.
Why? Because you are with me, for you are with me. Realize that God is with you. His presence is what matters. Number two, trust in the Lord always. Psalm 56. Psalm 56 and verses 3. Says, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. The psalmist is not saying I don't go through fear. He does go through fear. But he says, when I am afraid, I will trust in you. We will go through fear. Fear is an emotion. I know that. We'll go a little more deeper. But fear is an emotion. And when I am afraid, I will trust in you. Look at verse 4. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust. I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? In God I trust. I wonder whether that's the verse they used to put in the dollar. In God we trust. A lot of people trust the almighty dollar. Yeah? But the dollar says, in God we trust. Psalm 56 verse 4. In God I trust. I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? Look at verse 11. In God I trust. I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? I shall not be afraid. Wow, that's a posture. That's a posture. I will not be afraid. How many of you can rise up in the spirit this afternoon and say, I shall not be afraid. No matter what fears are confronting me, I'm going to declare war against fear. And say, I shall not be afraid. I will not fear. So number one, realize that God is with you. Number two, trust in the Lord always. Trust Him. He's trustworthy. Number three, seek the Lord daily. Psalm 34, very familiar passage. Psalm 34 and verse 4. I sought the Lord. Seek Him. I sought the Lord and he answered me. And did what? He delivered me from some of my fears. No, from all of my fears. No matter what fearless phobias you have this afternoon, God is able to deliver you from all your fears. Can you say amen?
Amen.
All your fears. All your phobias. That cannot stop you from walking in victory as a child of God. No fear should stop you from living an overcoming life. Look at verse 7. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Now notice that is a positive fear. Verse 4 is a negative fear. All the fears put together. He delivered me from all my fears. All of those negative fears in my life. And once that happens, you're delivered from all the fears that you have. You will begin to see that there is a healthy fear. There's a positive fear now. That's a fear of God. It says the angel of the Lord encamps those who fear him. You don't fear anything else. You don't fear Satan. You don't fear a ruler. You don't fear, a dictator. You don't fear the laws of the government. You don't fear your boss. You need to respect. You don't fear, you don't fear this and that. You don't fear your neighbor. You don't fear your neighbor's dog. Come on. You don't fear anything. You only fear God. Can you boldly say that? I fear only God. Angel of the Lord encamps on those who fear him and delivers them. Verse 9 repeats it. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. Wow. Look at verse 11. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. That's a different fear. Verse 4 talks about all your fears. Bring your list. God will deliver you from all your fears. All your phobias gone out of the window. Gone out of your life. Out of your home. Out of your family. Out of the lives of your children. Out. There are people who drive their cars. They think, oh, I'm going to have an accident. I'm going to have an accident. That's a fear. Don't drive like that. You're going to have one if you do that. Are you with me? Most people end up in an accident because of that fear. Most people don't pick up driving because of that fear. It's okay if you don't drive. I'm not trying to put guilt on you. I'm just saying, don't let fear stop you from any adventure with God.
Amen.
No matter what it is.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Now, I don't mind flying a plane, but I'm scared of going in a spacesuit and get stranded in space. I am scared. I may not do that in my life. And that's okay. I'm going to go to a place beyond the space. Come on. I'm going to be in heaven. Amen. Beyond space. That's glorious. But don't let fear stop you from doing anything that God is asking you to do. You get what I'm trying to say. So break all those negative fears and put these positive fears. Have the fear of God. So as you seek the Lord daily, you will become a man who's delivered from fears, but you will have the fear of God. Have the fear of God. Psalm 25 and verse 14 says the friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him. If you want to be a friend of God, fear him. The more you have the fear of God, the Bible says, fear of the Lord is a degree of wisdom. It will help you in your friendship with God, that relationship with God. Friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him. Psalm 25, verse 14. And finally, Psalm 112. I know a couple of Psalms that we looked at quickly, but Psalm 112 is beautiful. Psalm 112. It says, praise the Lord. Blessed are those who fear the Lord. Blessed are those who fear the Lord. You see, we respect, we honor our elders, our teachers, our parents, people in authority. We respect and honor. We don't fear them in that sense. We fear the Lord. When I say fear, it's a healthy fear. It's that word awesome. Young people use that word so randomly, awesome. Oh, that movie was awesome. That ice cream was awesome. It's a wrong usage. The correct word awe is a mixture of respect and fear together. It's only when you stand in the presence of God and you see who God is in his grace and glory, you will say, awesome. You get a picture of heaven, you say, awesome. Yeah, you go to the highlands and you see God's nature. You say, awesome. Yeah. Don't have to wait to get to see a Loch Ness monster to say awesome, okay? It's not there. Again, fear. False evidence appearing real. People have all these stories and all these things. Most of them are assumptions and stories. When you really come to grips with who God is, you stand there and you say, awesome. Awesome. God is awesome. His presence is awesome. His glory, His grace is awesome. Amen?
Amen.
So blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in His commands. Their children will be mighty in the land. Their children will be mighty in the land. Whose children? Whose children? Those who fear the Lord. So fear of the Lord is not just the beginning of wisdom. It's not just the factor that gives you friendship with God, according to the Bible. Your children, your generations are going to be blessed. Your children will be mighty in the land. Amen?
Amen.
Your children will be mighty in the land. You know, Pastor just mentioned this morning, this afternoon as he was praying. He said, God is a God of generation. He's a generational God. I believe that so much. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was also the God of Joseph. Generations. I, Paul, teach you, Timothy, you in turn teach others. Who will be able to teach others? Generations. Jesus and his disciples who made other disciples and the church grew. Generations. This church was planted and the leaders are coming, passing on the baton as they run with it. Generations. Are you with me? Your children, thank God that you brought them to church today. Allow them to go to Sunday school. You don't regret it. Because God is a God of generations. Your faith is important. Listen, they need Jesus as well. They need to be born again as well. You know what? God is a father. God is not a grandfather. You understood that? God is a father, not a grandfather. That means if my child has to have a relationship with God, that child has to call on God as Abba. Not because I have a relationship with God as Father. Not a grandfather relationship. There's nothing like that. God is a God of generations. You've got to teach your children to walk in the faith. Walk. Might offend them when you say something, it's okay. You know what? We are here to leave a legacy. We are here to leave a legacy for our children in the days to come. Amen?
Amen.
The Bible says their children will be mighty in the land. Verse 2, Psalm 112. Their children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed.
Glory.
Will be blessed.
Yeah.
I don't know whether you've heard this, but I'm going to read it anyway. It's a good reminder. There was these two families that they checked in America. Jonathan Edwards, and there was another guy called Max Dukes, and they took a history of them. This is beautiful. Listen to this. The family of Max Dukes, a man who had of no principle, who lived in New York. He did not believe in Christ or in Christian training. He refused to take his children to church, even when they asked to go. He married a girl of like character in 1677. Among his own descendants, 1,200 were studied. They studied the generations. 310 were professional beggars. 440 had lives that were physically wretched by debauchery and uncleanness. 130 were sent to prison for an average of 13 years each. 7 were murderers, 60 were habitual thieves, 190 were public prostitutes. Only 20 of the 1,200 Jukes ever had gainful employment. The others were either criminals or lived on state aid. This notorious clan cost the state of New York a total of $1,200,000 in welfare and custodial charges back then. They have not made a single positive contribution to society. Max Dukes' family. On the other hand, family of Jonathan Edwards. Jonathan Edwards lived in the same state at the same time as Dukes. They were contemporaries. He loved the Lord. He feared the Lord. And he saw to it that his children were in church every Sunday as he served the Lord to the best of his ability. He was from a good Christian family, married a girl of like character. From his traceable 1,400 descendants came 300 clergymen, priests, missionaries and theological professors, 75 authored good books, 13 college presidents, 65 college professors, 100 lawyers and a dean of an outstanding law school, 30 judges, 66 physicians, doctors, and a dean of a medical school, 80 holders of public office, 3 US senators, mayors of large cities, governors of 3 states, and a controller of the US Treasury, 1 vice president of the United States. The family wrote 135 books and sent 100 missionaries overseas. His family never cost the state 1 cent, but has contributed immeasurably to American society. Which lineage do you want? Which legacy will you leave? The Bible says, blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in His commands. Their children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. It goes on to say, wealth and riches are in their houses, and their righteousness endures forever. Even in darkness, light burns for the upright. Even in darkness, the good, the bad, the ugly seasons of life that will come. Even there, it says, light burns for the upright. Why? Because he fears the Lord. He doesn't fear anything else. He doesn't fear Satan. He doesn't fear the armies of hell. He fears God Almighty. He fears the one who's seated on the throne. He fears the one who will come back to judge. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright. For those who are gracious and compassionate and righteous, good will come to those who are generous and lend freely, to conduct their affairs with justice. Goes on to say, surely the righteous will never be shaken. They will be remembered forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They will be remembered forever. And then it says, verse 7, they will have no fear of bad news. Have no fear of bad news. There's some of us who live like that. Phone rings, oh, might be some bad news. You understand what I'm saying? Don't live like that. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Is your heart steadfast this afternoon? Are you trusting in the Lord? Verse 8 says their hearts are secure. Where is your security? It must be in the Lord. Their hearts are secure. They have nothing to fear. Bible says they will have no fear. Everybody say no fear.
No fear.
No fear. From this day forth, no fear. When fear comes, declare war against it. Say no fear. No fear. In the end, they will look in triumph on their foes. The Bible says you will not be a loser. You will be victorious. You are on the winning side because Jesus, the winner man, is with you. Amen. You missed a chance to say amen.
Amen.
You're on the winning side because Jesus, the winner man, is on your side.
Amen.
He's inside of you. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. They have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Their horn will be lifted high in honor. You'll be exalted. You'll be promoted. You'll be prospering. The wicked will see and be vexed. They will gnash their teeth and waste away. The longings of the wicked will come to nothing. Wow. What a psalm. Psalm 112, go and meditate on it. It'll blow your mind. It's amazing. That's when you read and you say, awesome. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
When you fear the Lord, these things will happen.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Amen.
Second, are you with me?
Amen.
The Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear. A spirit not to fear, but a power, love, and sound mind. Self-control. Declare war on it. God has not given a spirit of fear. So who gave you? Good question to ask. If God has not given you a spirit of fear, who gave you that spirit of fear? It's from the enemy. Don't take it. Don't accept it. Don't say, oh, I'm like that. You know, I fear spiders. I fear this. I fear that. Don't live like that all your life. You've got to break that fear. Whatever it is, you know what I'm talking about. You know your fears. Break that fear in Jesus' name. You know why? 1 John 4:18 says, perfect love. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. How can you cast out fear? How can you cast out fear from your life? How can you cast out fear from your home? How can you cast out fear? Come to that perfect love. That perfect love is found in Jesus Christ alone. In Christ alone. In Christ alone. So choose faith over fear. This afternoon. Say, I will fear no evil. Amen? No fear, period. No fear. I will not fear. I choose not to fear. It's my choice not to fear. Why fear when God is with you? Why fear when it's all going to turn out good? Why fear? It's all going to end well. Because God is on the throne. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Casts out fear. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You have an evening of faith? You have an evening of faith this afternoon? I want to close by trying to get this on video, but we couldn't. But just the words of the song by Mercy Me called Even If, just to sum up what I've shared this afternoon.